Twitter's users grown by 6 million in Q4. LinkedIn tests switching off political posts in feeds. Snapchat tests slotting ads mid-roll. Likes come to Instagram stories. Twitter testing variable speeds on videos and audios. Hello and welcome to Social Media Weekly, episode 16 February 2022. Social Media Weekly is brought to you by Virtual Palace Marketing. Get your very own website built from as low as $100 with Virtual Palace Marketing today. Terms and conditions apply. The platform is super easy to maintain and it comes with a state-of-the-art security. Drop us an email at admin@virtualpedalers.com for a free discovery session. My name is Sean.
And I'm Jay. And guys, check out the website, guys. Don't fall back and don't regret. Later on, don't have to discount very hard, you know.
You know,
now
you know
it's free. Later on, it won't be free.
You know who would, you know who would really benefit from the kind of website that we create from as low as $400? People who want to market their NFT stuff. Simple one pagers, gets the job done, easy to maintain, easy to update. You don't need some skills doing it. So you guys can focus on actually selling the NFTs, going into Discord, talking to people. And it has no downtime. It's very secure. Well, they say it won't be hacked, but I wouldn't put my bet on it. But still, not as easy to hack as some other ones, which are a bit too complex and vulnerable. So yeah.
Yes, guys. So don't NFT creators out there, don't waste time. If you guys looking forward for something and you want to explore, feel free to drop us an email and chat with us to have a free discovery session.
Yes, and get your NFT website up in about just a few days. Quick. All right, let's move on to the news of the week. Twitter's users grown by 6 million in Q4. This brought total users to over 200 million. Twitter only considers monetizable daily active users in this graph. So this is actually quite special. I think we have talked about this before, that Twitter only considers monetizable daily active users as actual daily active users, not like how Facebook and all that, they consider all kinds of daily active users. As long as you log in for 2 seconds a day, whether or not you see ads, you're considered an active user. So for Twitter, it's a bit more, filtered down. So it also posted a 22% year-over-year increase in revenue, crossing 5 billion for the very first time. Congratulations, Twitter. Most of the growth came from international users, while US users user numbers remain mostly flat. This, we think, could be attributed to the sudden surge in NFT and crypto craze on the platform, and Twitter being used as the main social media place for all these things to happen.
I don't think 100% know for a fact it's because of the NFTs. That's why, you know, even for me right now, I think safe to say I only follow like 2 to 3 NFTs accounts. But other than that, every time now you can see plenty of them are popping up here and there. And just talking about like, hey, join our Discord, you know, join our community to get to learn more about NFTs and also what kind of NFTs we sell and the perks of it. So I wouldn't be surprised that the main contribution towards the growth for Twitter was because of the NFT. That's I honestly strongly believe in that, you know. What about you? What do you think?
Yes, I think I completely agree with you, but I think the biggest problem here is, let's just say, for example, if NFT is the one, right? And crypto is the one. And it's a hype on Twitter now because it's a new thing. But once it becomes mainstream, people will start to take it off of Twitter, right? And then when it takes it off of Twitter, when it becomes mainstream, then it starts to move into Facebook, because Facebook is a more mainstream market. So Twitter will need to look for the next NFT, the next crypto. Because if not, then it will not be relevant anymore. So, in the meantime, Twitter can ride on this fun part of things, like the amazing new spike that they're having. But in the midterm and the long term, they need to figure out what they need to be for which group of people moving forward after this fad or this trend phases out.
I mean, understandable. And yeah, I think Twitter should just keep an eye out. I guess this is probably by luck, would you say?
Yeah, it is by luck. Yeah. Yeah. But in any case, congratulations, right, Twitter. You're doing very well for yourself. So yeah, pat on the back.
I'm proud of you, Twitter. Unlike another blue color fella. I don't know why I realized that I have like this rough, like I have like friction between Facebook and Instagram right now. You know, like I, like we all are not very good friends, but I still use them. You know.
Well, I think that, you speak on behalf of a lot of people when you say that.
Gang, same gang. Alright, with that, next news. LinkedIn tests switching off political posts in feed, seeing as LinkedIn is quite possibly the last place that people will go on a political rampage. It is nice to see the platform taking preventative measures to keep it safe. Only some users have access to the feature at the moment, while LinkedIn is testing to see if it's worth expanding to the rest of us. CEO Ryan Rolensky. Am I pronouncing it right?
Ryan Rolensky.
Explained that they will utilize keywords and signals from users to identify political posts and eliminate them from feeds. Actually, yeah, I feel like... But that's the thing. Even for me, LinkedIn, to be honest, I don't really see much political posts. I see very much business-centric posts. So I guess I don't see the relevancy of this. It's just that maybe there's some other users out there that actually that do have that tendency to see more political posts, and probably they want to switch it off. And I think that's how the idea came about. Because for me, I see zero. I see more... probably it's because the things that I follow as well. So the things that I actually see is probably like, you know, some artwork here and there, you know, marketing insights and stuff like that. But besides that, I don't see any political posts. What about you, Sean? Do you actually come across any political posts?
I don't see them as well. But like you said, I think I don't think we are in the same echo chamber. So I believe that there are people who are very actively politically inclined in LinkedIn. But that said, I think for any sane person, it would not make sense for them to go on a political rampage on LinkedIn, because you want to be there to be hired, to look professional, right? And losing your cool over some political stuff isn't exactly being professional. So I guess you keep that on Facebook and Instagram or Snapchat on TikTok when you can actually, you know, go in as a pseudonym and people won't know who you are, kind of stuff. But on LinkedIn, I think you try to be as professional as possible, like you said, right? I see a lot of people selling stuff to each other and marketing stuff to each other, and that to me is the reason why I don't really like LinkedIn that much, because everybody's out to sell something to someone. Nobody wants to buy something, nobody wants to listen, and nobody wants to actually build any connections without having an ulterior motive.
Actually, very true, safe to say. I mean, like, a lot, there's plenty of people out there. I'm not gonna lie, I wouldn't consider I'm one of them. I think there was once upon a time that I did text like few of them, like, hey, are you looking for services? Feel free to like chat with me. But then eventually it just ghosts me out. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna disturb you.
So that is what I feel from LinkedIn. That's why I don't really like LinkedIn at all. But let's not get sidetracked. Let's go back to the topic of LinkedIn, like filtering political ads. Political content. I think, like you said, right? We don't have a lot of political content on LinkedIn, but I think it is a preventative measure. Like, LinkedIn is saying, okay, we know that it hasn't reached our platform yet, but we are not taking any risk. So let's take a first step. Let's pull it out right from the roots and don't allow it to happen. We have enough time in case it comes, it reaches our shores. If it doesn't, it's fine. It's just an extra button that is left in a corner nobody use. But in case if it does start to filter political content, then it's got good use. Then we're protecting our people from political stuff.
I guess that's a... After you mentioning this, makes much more sense why did actually LinkedIn did this in the first place. Kudos to LinkedIn though. I mean, they always say, you know, prevention is always better than cure. So I guess this is a very good move, a step out move for them.
Yep. And somehow you wish that the other blue company would have done that instead, right?
What other blue company? I don't know other blue company. Like, I don't know. I only know Twitter. I only know Twitter and LinkedIn only. I don't know.
Okay, let's move on. Snapchat tests slotting ads in mid-roll. The purpose of this is actually to give creators the ability to switch on ads within their content. By doing so, part of revenue generated will be allocated back to the creator. So it's like this. Like, let's say, for example, I create a bunch of videos, right? A bunch of content. And I can have the ability to switch on advertisement that will roll in the middle of my content. And when I'm doing that, it actually pays me some form of money when people see it. There is a set of measures that determine how much cut a creator gets, which includes posting frequency and audience engagement. The idea is actually to let Snapchat creators make more money with their content at their control, but you need to have a high enough following and watch rate in order to make money. Because if you turn on this thing and nobody actually watches your stuff, nobody actually follows you, then you don't get anything anyway. It's kind of like what we do with our podcast. So we use Anchor FM and we turn on ads, but because we don't meet the minimum requirement of the number of watches or listens or downloads per episode, so then we don't get paid. That's just that.
It's okay. For now. Later on.
We hope that things will get better soon.
Amen.
So what do you think about this? Okay. Like, in terms of this mid-roll ad that you can control, do you want someone to be interfered with you, by your content with ads, or would you prefer them to like watch the whole thing and then make money somewhere else?
I mean, like, it gets to a certain extent, right? You see, let's just say we put it in a influencer's point of view. I would consider that to a certain level that you want to give content to people, you know, you would just want to give. It comes to a point whereby, like, hey, you know what? I want to make money out of this. And this is one of the avenues that you can actually use. So I guess for me personally, I find it's a good approach for Snapchat, even though I don't really use it. But nevertheless, it is good for the creators on Snapchat as well, you know, giving them different avenues to actually make more money, essentially. So I find this a very good idea. Low-key kind of reminds me of YouTube a bit at this point. But I guess, but you know, it's a stepping forward, lah.
But you know what would be fun? If Snapchat tells you exactly when the mid-roll ads will come out, and then you structure your video in such a way that you leave a cliffhanger, then the ad comes in. It's like you know those Spanish soap operas, soap shows that, like, when you watch it and then there is this scene where you see this guy goes like that and then the camera will zoom in.
And then cut to an ad.
Then right after the ad, Apollo! You just see the girl zooming in.
That's bad. That is what I call good quality content. Yes. You know, he takes effort to do this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and it makes
it
so seamless, right? It looks hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, that would be a good that would be a good approach, and it would be a good laugh, really. So that could work. So where I'm concerned is that we may not be consuming a lot of Snapchat now, but I think that if it works right, I think a lot of other social media platforms will also start picking up this this format.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Later on, I can assure you this, an app will confirm copy this, lah. It starts from I, ends with an M. Instagram. Mm. I have a feeling. I wouldn't be surprised. Let's not forget, Stories was actually by Snapchat, you know? That's how Stories came about, because it started with Snapchat. So, like, maybe another one, they would probably like, hey, you know what? Let's take this as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, with that, you know, speaking about Instagram, likes come to Instagram stories. Just we're talking about Instagram stories only. Instagram will be rolling out the ability to like stories, and the heart button will appear between the messages, a message bubble, and the send icon. Adam Mosseri claims that this will clear the DM clutter for followers who sends emojis, and also allow users to more easily easily express their love for stories. Unlike feed likes, story likes will only be seen by the creators. This will also help creators add other engagement layers to their metrics, since stories has been performing better than posts lately. So I'm guessing there is reels, there is stories, and then we have posts. So yeah. I guess, what do you think about this like thingy? I do not know whether I like it or I don't like it. I need to feel it first, like, to be honest.
Don't like. Okay, so what I like about it is, pun intended, you don't know if you like the like, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think one of the key thing is, one of the thing I like about it is, the like about like, is that, you know how we are responding to stories
likes?
Now?
Oh, okay.
We have to type the message, we have to type on the message bubble, and then show one of the reaction. That's the only way we can react to a story, right?
Correct.
So that's the first thing. By adding this like button, because when you react to it, it goes into the DM. Then it clutters the DM. True. So it doesn't matter if you are a kind of person who maybe you have one story, maybe you maybe get like 5 or 6 of all these reactions. But if you're a creator, if you're an influencer, and you're getting like hundreds and hundreds of people or thousands of people reacting to your story, then it becomes very hard to manage. Right?
Correct.
So converting it to likes will just push it over to the likes page, and it's just there. Right? And the thing is, viewers, let's say if you create a post and I like your post, if you create a story and I like your story, I cannot see how many likes that story generates. But it's fine. It's not about that, right? It's just about me reacting to your story. And it's cleaner for you, so because it doesn't push it to the DM. And it probably also adds one of the metrics that is measurable for creators as well.
I guess it's a one way to get a bigger metrics, I guess.
Yeah, because now I'm assuming, which is also very true as well. I mean, you know, a lot of these influencers are performing better on stories than on posts now. But there isn't enough metric to show sponsors or businesses who the influencers are working for with that they are performing well. So Instagram is under pressure to give stories more metrics.
Hmm.
And it's probably one of the reasons. One of the way to do it.
For me, I'm still very subjective on this. Like, I'm not so sure whether I like it or not, but I still nevertheless I wanna experience this and see. I feel that probably the DMing clutter would be way much more better, so I guess it's a good thing for me personally. Like, because sometimes you tend to have like reactions and stuff like that, and it is too many. When there's too many, you just don't want to attend to it, to be honest. Like for me, when it gets, I'm just gonna push it aside. I have other things to do. And then, like, you know, I guess this, it helps on the DMing clutter, so that's one thing that I'm actually really looking forward for as well.
That is true. Okay, moving on to the last story of the week. Twitter testing variable speeds on videos and audios. YouTube has spoiled us with the ability to either speed up or slow down video speeds depending on our patience, on whether to be able to want to go through it very quickly or go through it very slowly to look at the details. By high demand, Twitter released a new test on Android and web that does just this. What Twitter wants to do is, if you're watching a video on Twitter, so then you can have the ability to either slow it down or speed it up. This also means that Twitter is kind of like becoming a video platform where people can share high long form content and not just short form content. So Twitter used to be microblogging, words only, right?
Correct.
And then they share short clips because of Periscope. So now they're working on longer videos, maybe longer videos, more educational videos, instruction videos, learning, like, you know, arts and works and stuff like that, right? Painting and everything, or maybe instruction on how to mint an NFT or all that kind of stuff, then those people who want to just blast through it very quickly can go through it very quickly. Those who want to take it slow can take it slow. And this, having this control, to me means that Twitter is taking video very seriously now.
For me personally, I love this. You know why? Because you know, you get to speed up things more faster. You get to, like, you know, you get to save way much more time for you to consume content. Because if you notice that some contents that are out there, it's a bit too slow, and you want to pick up the pace a bit, and you want to get things like pop quickly, you know, and then you want to attend to something else as well. So I guess it's a level up for Twitter again, and kudos to Twitter. To be honest, I really like this. You know.
Yeah. Then imagine, because I have been doing a little bit of painting on Procreate lately, or doing arts on Procreate lately.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, it's just for fun, lah, you know. But the thing is, sometimes I watch videos on YouTube, and I do use the slowdown, the ability to slow it down, so that I can see step by step how they apply the strokes, what kind of pressure they use, what kind of pattern they use, and things like that. So that helps as well. Slowing down, it's not just about speeding up.
See, that's the thing, that's the beauty part about it. Yeah, you see, guys, now you get two different perspectives of things. You want to slow it down, and if you want to speed it up. So Twitter,
yes, doing well, Twitter, thank you very much. All right,
with that, ladies and gentlemen, Social Media Weekly Podcast is available on Anchor FM, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and more. Our full videos are available on YouTube, and we post bits and clips on Instagram and Facebook. Sorry, I just wanted to add in a little bit of Indianness, you know, like...
If you like Social Media Weekly, it would really help if you could rate and review it on a podcast feeder of your choice and on YouTube, so more can discover it. Social Media Weekly is on the lookout for regular co-hosts to help us bring some depth to the show. If you're interested, simply drop me an email at Sean, that is S-H-A-W-N, at virtualpeddlers.com. This is Social Media Weekly, episode 16, February 2022. My name is Sean.
And I'm Jay Pal Singh.
They still don't know my last name. I'm not going to tell you guys.
Sarigama. Okay, take care, guys.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Woo-wee. You should play like a high five theme song at the back.
What is the high five theme song?